Welcome to the Elijah Rising podcast. Elijah Rising is an organization empowering women recovering from sexual exploitation. This episode is going to help you become more aware about the issue of sex trafficking and inspire you to take action.
Hey, welcome back to the Elijah Rising podcast. I'm your host, Micah Gamboa. And if you haven't already, please like and subscribe to access more of this content. Today, we are joined by Joe Madison of Demand Disruption. Yeah. Joe's actually had the privilege, the immense privilege of being on our podcast for multiple times.
Every time I'm on, I look for my plaque. Like, where's my, I was first. And now I'm the first one to do four. And y'all just keep moving the room instead of putting the plaque up. Well, so I know what you're doing. Different venue, but yeah.
Keep you on your toes.
It's an honor.
Thank you. Just kidding. We do really appreciate you on our podcast. You have a lot to say, especially as it relates to the demand side, which is a really unique, you know, the men who are buying sex. I mean, you're working to mitigate those situations. And without your work, I mean, our work is essentially fruitless. So we really love this partnership. Yeah. Glad to be, that you're here.
We are grateful for it as well. And especially today, we've got a lot in common for this subject.
Yeah. Well, we have some stories to tell. We're going to just do a deep dive. We're going to go ahead and jump right in. Today, we're going to be talking about the impact of technology, especially as it relates to buyer behavior. So, you know, 5 years ago, we're right at the cusp of like our anniversary. Demand Disruption and Elijah Rising did kind of a joint venture where we targeted what would have been the nation's first robotic sex brothel coming into Houston. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Listening to you describe it, I've probably said it 100 times since October is when we'll get into things started moving at the city level. But yeah, September 21st, 5 years ago, we really started to talk about this because it came into our attention. And when I talk about it, I explain it. But hearing you say it, it makes me kind of sit there and just absorb it a little bit. Mm. And by that, I mean the nation's first.
Yeah.
So before we even get into the details of this, this person who had business success in another country with this type of format, a robot sex brothel, said, I'm going to bring this to America.
Yeah.
And then he said, where will I take it? Where will it be most successful? And Houston was the top of his list.
Little market research, probably. A little Google searching, and Houston came up as number one.
That's hard to take for a Houston boy. Like, this, this is my town. And so that in and of itself is really an indictment with what a hypersexualized culture we live in America. And then for us to be, in his mind, the most fertile market to bring this to.
Now, before you go any further, I know that there's listeners out there who are like, wait, I'm sorry. I don't even understand. What are you talking about? A robot sex brothel? What is that? Can you define that for us?
Yeah, those three words don't really make sense unless you've got context. A robot sex brothel is essentially, well, this person's intention was to sort of circumvent sexually oriented business ordinance by saying it's a retail store. We sell these. And so he wanted to open up space in a retail space. But his whole business model was around renting the robots while you're there to decide what you want to buy. I am really tiptoeing, but it is hard not to get graphic talking about some of the things we discuss on a daily basis. But essentially, it was this end around to have a brothel where you could act out with AI robots.
Yeah, and they would learn. I mean, these bots, like you said, they're AI, so they're learning about the buyer's preferences once they purchase it. And that is a whole nother conversation that we can have. But I just want to clarify that for our listeners as well.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, just going back. So had an interview with ABC 13, talked with them about this threat and why it was a threat. And we didn't really even talk about the robots. We talked about, I said, yes, right now this is a hot button and it's got everybody upset. But that's today. Tomorrow will be AI or VR.
Yeah.
And in that interview, I also mentioned to them, look, we're standing in front of a building that has an illicit brothel inside of it. It's a business building. And I said, please work that into the to the interview. And they didn't mention it. And to me, just kind of stepping back from the entire issue, it all comes down to demand.
Yeah.
The demand for something illicit, whether it's robots, whether it's people. Mm-hmm. And we are still kind of coming to grips with it even 5 years later as a community of what that really means and how to address it.
Mm-hmm. So we found that media and the public really, it garnered a lot of attention and people's ears were pricked up like, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, what's happening in our city? This is trying to come in. And it was a little bit, I don't want to say easy because it wasn't easy, but it was easier in a sense to keep something from coming into the city than, you know, from being launched than all of the proliferation of what we say is already going on, right? The illicit massage businesses. So can you walk us through kind of the progression of an order of events? Yeah. How did we even keep that from happening? What steps did we take? We're not particularly like skilled people and anyone could do this. So how did we do it?
Yeah. And there's a parallel there. The illicit massage businesses that are operating now, mm-hmm. they open as massage businesses that are legitimate. So mm-hmm. they're doing the same thing. They're mm-hmm. trying to circumvent. We are this legitimate business that falls under this category, which would be massage therapy.
Yeah.
This person tried to do the same thing with retail. So mm-hmm. there are those similarities. And when we found out about that, you're right. It wasn't because we were anti-trafficking professionals. It was that we understood from that perspective, wait, this is a bigger problem than we're really talking about. And then as we began discussing it, we realized our first stop has got to be city council. We've got to talk mm-hmm. to our city and help them understand not only that this is a threat, but how to write ordinances mm-hmm. that see into the future somewhat. I mm-hmm. think that's exactly mm-hmm. the expression our founder, Bo, said. We've got to write this so that it sees into the future with other threats. And so as we were doing that, and we're talking with city council, I remember one of the council members said, if these places pop up or whatever, we've got cameras, we can help kind of find if people are going in and out of there. And he was talking about, I think, the buyers in this type of facility. And what our question was, well, if you have cameras, where are they? Because we have over 300 illicit massage businesses where human beings are being exploited in there. And so it really, I think, opened up some of that conversation. Mm-hmm. And in record time, the city, and then about 2 weeks later, we went to talk to Harris County because mm-hmm. Houston's such a unique footprint. City is this, and then mm-hmm. this is all Harris County. And so that place would have just gone to the path of least resistance and moved out to the county. So we talked to Harris County, and then in a matter of 3 weeks, ordinances were changed. That just doesn't happen.
No, that's very
quick. Does that ever happen? Mm-hmm. And a big part of it was, one, yes, we were vocal as anti-trafficking orgs, but we had specific concerns and asks in front of our city government and our county government, but also the nature of the establishment, this business, had such a public outrage mm-hmm. that it would have been uncomfortable not to act on it for city and county officials. And so mm-hmm. they did, and we stopped that place from opening.
That's amazing. And so not only Harris County, Houston proper changed their ordinances, there were multiple counties around the vicinity, right, that followed suit.
Yeah, it set that precedence. Yeah. And if we think about it, had that place opened, mm-hmm. fast forward 5 years, not only how many more places like that would be open, but how many more places like that? Because what happens in capitalism, right? I open a place and I sell chips and soda. Awesome. But wouldn't somebody like a hot dog? I'm going to put a hot dog machine here. Mm-hmm. There is this proliferation beyond mm-hmm. whatever the competition is to differentiate.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, when we're talking about human trafficking, when we're talking about illicit sex and the commercial sex industry, that proliferation becomes more and more dangerous to not only the people who are partaking, but mm-hmm. the communities that they exist in.
So let's talk about, for those listeners who might still be thinking, I understand what you're saying mm-hmm. and I understand the moral outrage, but you know, from an ethical perspective, can we really talk about why this is detrimental to our communities? Maybe, and I've had this question posed to myself, I know you have too, mm-hmm. like, wouldn't this be a possible solution to maybe even human trafficking to mitigate the risks and eliminate the harm, you know? Can you tell us, our listeners, really what's really the problem?
Yeah. And on the surface, there's a certain amount of logic that it goes mm-hmm. into that. Like I said, we're immersed in this every day. The work that we do, our orgs do, and our other partner orgs in the fight against human trafficking. But if you're just looking at it from a standpoint, and the concern is that people are being harmed, well, what if we just remove the people and we had robots? Mm-hmm. Or the same argument is something we hear regularly in fighting demand. well, what's the problem with pornography? Mm-hmm. It's just a video. No one's getting hurt. It's just that person and it's a video. And the truth of the matter is, once you dig a little further than that first reaction, we mm-hmm. have to come to terms with some things. I made a couple of notes because as I was thinking about our conversation today, I kept coming back to three things that we hear. Mm-hmm. A robot sex brothel eliminates the human being from this act, this issue. And so that should be fine, right? And while it removes a person being exploited or abused and replaces it with a robot, it does not remove the person who's acting out on that.
Yeah.
And when we talk about harm for people who are acting out sexually in a way that is not consistent with what their beliefs, values, and attitudes, they just begin to get to that point. We have to realize that it extends even further than that. For example, these AI bots are designed to do everything that a person would do mm-hmm. in terms of response, mm-hmm. but we're taking the soul and the person out of it. Mm-hmm. That is essentially, it's almost a training ground for sexual assault or some sort of acting out behavior that you justify because this is not a person.
That's right.
And the same is true in the threat when we talk about AI pornography mm-hmm. and the number of subjects that we can go down that road.
Yeah.
And so when we understand that there's a ripple effect. And that's one of the things that we brought to city council and to our county mm-hmm. and realizing that this type of relationship of having sex with an inanimate robot mm-hmm. that is animated and simulates a human being is really not that different than the ways that we see others act out in these smaller ways. And then after a while, that's not enough. And mm-hmm. then it escalates mm-hmm. and escalates. Mm-hmm. After a while, the need for a human being to be in this equation
right.
is almost inevitable.
Yeah, because there's some robot ethicists. I don't think that that's our official title, right? But this is the work that they do around yeah. AI and robotic human relationships and the ethics around that. And they have said repeatedly, you know, I mean, if artificial means were a way of mitigating or even satisfying these kind of sexual desires mm-hmm. or urges or whatever, then we would have seen that happen already.
That's right.
Right? We already have which I won't go into, but we have a numerous buffet of things to do that already without having AI bots. And so what they also continually say is like studies do not show that it decreases or mitigates or even like, detracts or turns away the desires, the urges. And a lot of these buyers are finding that it's actually increasing.
Yeah. And that's exactly where I was going to go with this. So our work with over 600 men at this point, either at the point of arrest or after conviction, is to help them rehabilitate. But in that process, we're very specific to learn about how they got there in the first place. Mm-hmm. And that work continually tells us, for example, if someone's buying sex, while not everyone who watches pornography is going to go buy illicit sex, almost every man that we've ever talked to has a porn issue.
Absolutely.
And there was a cause and effect.
Right.
What they saw, this dominance, this complete elimination of any intimacy or pornography takes it from being intimate with a person to doing something to a person.
Right.
And in that, there's an aggression increase. There is a violation. There is a reduction in humanity. Mm-hmm. There is an acting out behavior that does not consider how you would treat a human being.
That's exactly right.
And that is also specific to why men or buyers are doing this stuff outside of marriage. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm married to my mother and my children, but the things I see, I really want to do that. Mm-hmm. But this person, I can pay them and act out that way. Mm-hmm. You see, there is this transition from identifying in humanity to somebody that I can act out on with what I saw and emulate that. And so when we bring that back to the robot sex brothels, David, in his testimony when he was talking to city council, he had mentioned specifically some research that showed the person who makes these robots and mm-hmm. sells them wholesale, then people resell them, he gets them back in the most horrifying damaged condition.
Yeah.
And that damage speaks directly to the aggression and violence that somebody's acting out on something that they otherwise couldn't get away with.
That's right.
If it was a human being. And so I take that and I put it right alongside just decades now of research of talking to prostituted women mm-hmm. about what they experience in their life. Mm-hmm. And 100% of them say that they experienced abuse. Mm-hmm. And then that will range from rape, assault,
verbal,
whatever. So yeah, many things. Absolutely. You'll hear it with your overcomers and survivor for, that absolutely. You work with. And when we understand that parallel, we have got to come to terms with it's not about replacing a robot with a human. The behavior, the acting out behavior, will be visited on
yes.
a human being at some point.
Yes. And to that point, you know, I don't know if people, our listeners know this, but in 2017, the House passed H.R. 4655 about pedophilia and child sex dolls. So the yeah. same thing, but in light of this. And they found, they were saying the exact same thing, that studies are showing that it doesn't mitigate harm to children and actually mm-hmm. reinforces it, because your brain, you're literally reinforcing and legitimizing this rape, this yeah. this harm, this sexual abuse. Yes, it is. Without
out.
Consequence
That's
and
right.
without consent.
That's right. And it builds, here's another piece of just sort of psychology and what we understand from buyers. There are all these levels of justification, things that they're okay with. Mm-hmm. And then I see something that, oh, no, I would never watch that.
Yeah.
3 months later, they're watching that.
Yeah.
Because the familiarity, the normalcy, the things that you're talking about. So now let's add AI. Let's add this excuse, this justification mm-hmm. that, well, it's not a person. So this child-like sex doll mm-hmm. or this computer generated image of a child.
Yeah.
No child was harmed
right.
in the making of this video.
Right.
We have to come to terms with what we're really agreeing to.
Yes.
What we're saying is, well, that's really no big deal. No, yeah. it's conditioning.
It is.
There are so many ways that we talk about pornography conditioning the viewer. Mm-hmm. If you watch pornography, you're associating, your brain will associate sex with that video and you're acting out behavior because of that cause and effect.
Yeah.
There is no mystery why the erectile dysfunction industry, which that's a medical disease, a mm-hmm. medical issue for a lot of people. So it's not making light of it whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I had a lengthy discussion with the urologist and talked to him about, tell me some of the men that you're seeing come in. Mm-hmm. He's seeing, I see 20-somethings coming yeah. in with ED, and I'm telling him, you have nothing physically wrong with you.
Yeah.
This has become a psychological problem because of the conditioning. So I kind of exited off the ramp. Let me come back on the freeway where we were talking about. It's that conditioning. Mm-hmm. So having a doll or having a person, removing the person does mm-hmm. not remove that behavior being acted out at
yeah.
a later date.
No, I completely agree. We could talk for hours about this particular subject. Yeah. We'll have another episode following this one for our listeners who are still interested to talk more about the harms or the potential harms, the potential uses yeah. of AI and VR as it relates to the pornography and ultimately sex buying industry. Yeah. So yeah. I just want to thank you so much for your time, Joe. Sure. We've really appreciated you here on the podcast today, and we will have you again.
Y'all, it's such an ugly thing to look in the face. Mm-hmm. And this podcast does that and is willing to do that. And I'm genuinely honored to get to talk about difficult things with people that I know want to handle it responsibly with love and empathy for the people who might be going down that path yeah. and not even realize it.
Yeah, that's good.
And so this is crucial. So if you see this podcast and you learn something from it, it resonates, share it. It's a difficult subject, mm-hmm. but people need to understand it now so that they're not experiencing it later.
Really quick, can you tell our listeners where to find you or to yeah. find your organization?
Yeah, so demanddisruption.org is our website. Demand Disruption on social media through Facebook and Instagram. You can find us there. And as you follow us, you're going to see insight into buyer behavior, essentially like any other industry or market, what's driving it, mm-hmm. and it's demand. How do we address that? Not just at the point of arrest or after arrest, but how does demand disruption work with a 14-year-old kid who's been addicted to pornography for 3 years?
Yeah.
Because they've had that access and their brain was not ready to try to make sense of it. So, yeah, those are a few places we can find us.
Awesome. Thank you again, Joe. We've really appreciated you. Yeah, if you've enjoyed this podcast, learned anything, like Joe said, please share it. We, again, like, subscribe to access the content. We will see you next time with Joe Madison.
Thank you for joining us today for this episode. If you were inspired by this content today, please share, rate, and leave a review. Also, please consider making a donation at ElijahRising.org/donate. Your support helps us continue the vital mission to combat sex trafficking. Until next time.